WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
During the 1960s, New Orleans soul singer Irma Thomas had a string of regional hits. Songs like Ruler of My Heart, It's Raining, and Wish Someone Would Care, which also made it to the national top 20. The 70s were hard times for soul singers, and Thomas was no exception, but there's been a renewed interest in her classic soul singing. Rounder Records has released two new records in the last 2 years. From her latest album, The Way I Feel, here's Irma Thomas singing Sit Down and Cry.
Most people who have written songs for me know that I like songs that tell good stories or have some kind of a storyline to it. And so oftentimes when music is presented to me, unless it has a story, it doesn't appeal to me at all.
Is it hard for you to find songs now that you want to sing that suit you?
Yes, indeed. Yes. It's like pulling teeth because most people who can write and have written hits have always sent them to people who've had a track record of hits.
One of the songs that was written for you by Alan Toussaint is called It's Raining.
Right.
That's a really nice record. Have you listened back to that recently, and have you thought much about how your singing has changed over the years?
My voice is quite different from then. My voice seems to be deeper than it used to be. I have a little bit better range than I used to have. Of course, I'm an older now, and things do change as you get older.
It's raining so hard, look like it's gonna rain all night, and this is the time I'd love to be holding you tight, but I guess I'll have to accept the fact that you're not here.
Let's talk about how you started to sing. Did you ever sing in church before you started to record?
Yeah, every Southern black child has sung in church at one time or another if he ever attended church. I can't ever remember not being able to sing. And it's just been a part of me. I just thought everybody did it.
Do you remember the first time you actually got paid for it?
Yeah. I was about, I was 17. This was before the record.
And what happened?
I got $2.
Where were you singing?
In Mississippi, at a place that rained out, and we earned $2 a piece, and we had to give it back to put gas in the car.
So you were 17 when you started to actually perform professionally?
Right.
One of your early records was the song Time Is On My Side, which the Rolling Stones later recorded it.
Uh-huh.
How did you get to record it? What was the story behind you recording it?
I was asked to do it when my contract was bought. Along with the Minute label, I was asked to do Time Is On My Side as a part of an album session. And I did it. I thought it was a good song at the time.
Were you surprised when the Rolling Stones recorded it later?
I didn't like the fact that they had done it, and I knew my version was better. It sounded better. It was better produced. And here's a group of guys who I didn't feel sung all that great, had a million seller. But looking back on it retrospectively, it was because of the times and what was going on at that time. English groups were migrating into the United States, and the United States public was eating it up. And if you were from England and didn't care how bad you sung or how good you sung, you were a hit. And I just got caught up in the middle of all of that.
You wanna be free.
Vivian, I think it was 1970 you left New Orleans for Los Angeles.
Right.
What made you want to leave the city? It's a city that you were, you know, really associated with musically.
Well, when your livelihood depends on the nightclub bookings that you have and Mother Nature comes along and tears it all down, what do?
What do you mean by Mother Nature tore it all down?
A hurricane named Camille came along and devastated the Mississippi Coast area where 95% of my bookings were.
Oh, so all the clubs were demolished?
Yeah, the whole coast was demolished. I mean, they had to rebuild the entire coast just about.
So you left for Los Angeles.
Right.
How did that turn out professionally for you?
It didn't. I wound up getting a day job at one of the major stores there and working to support my family. And then finally I moved to Oakland where I was able to do some gigs and work in a profession that I enjoyed doing.
You know, in the early 70s, in a way, it was kind of difficult times for soul music. I think everybody who had, a lot of people who had been listening to soul music gave it up for psychedelic music, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So was it hard for you to find your audiences back then?
No, I just kept doing what I knew how to do. I didn't adventure into trying to do psychedelic music as such because it didn't appeal to me. And I just continued singing the kinds of songs that I enjoyed doing and I knew how to do well and stuck with it. I didn't get a hell of a lot of gigs because of it, but by the same token, those gigs that I did get were appreciated by the audiences, so I just stuck with that.
What made you move back to New Orleans?
Work. I was coming back to New Orleans often and spending more time back in New Orleans than I was in the Bay Area where I was living at the time. And then I met my third husband there and I got married and he said, you either live in New Orleans or you go back to California. So I moved to New Orleans.
Do you think of yourself as having a New Orleans sound?
No, I think of myself as having an Irma Thomas sound. It would be the same no matter where I was.
Let me ask you about another song on the record.
Okay.
The song, I'll Take Care of You. Why did you want to do that one? It's a great recording of it.
Uh-huh. I've always liked that song since Bobby Bland put it out in the early 60s. I've always liked that song.
I know you've been hurt by someone else. I can tell by the way carry yourself, but if you let me, here's what I'll do, I'll take care of you. I've loved and lost the same as you, so you see, I know just what you've been through. So if you let me, here's what I'll do. Oh, I'll take care of you. You don't ever have to worry.
Do a lot of your fans not realize that you're still recording new records?
They know I'm doing them because what I do, I try to bring the records to the gigs with me and offer them to them on the job. But most of the record shops, when they buy the record, they stick it in the oldies section. I mean, it's not an old record, it's new records, but they stick them in the oldies section. Or they'll put them in oldie females or something, you know, some category where nobody would think it's there unless they knew where to go look. And I think it's unfair to me as an artist because I am recording new songs and they should display me with the rest of the top 40 people and give me a fighting chance.
Why do you think they do that? Have you talked to any of the record
stores? I have no idea, but I'm going to find out when I get back home. I'm going to ask them, why do you put my records over in the oldies section? And they'll have to come up with an answer because I'm definitely going to ask.